In Arizona, nearly 2,000 people are on the waitlist for a new kidney. Nationally, that number is in the tens of thousands. But despite the need, thousands of kidneys are disposed of in the U.S. each year. And that's a waste that our next guest says doesn't have to happen. Dr. Peter Reese is an associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the University of Pennsylvania. And he has some new research out that suggests the U.S. should take a page from the French when it comes to organ donation. I spoke with him more about that research and why he thinks some of those kidneys received after a donor's death could save lives. But I started by asking him just how great the need is for organ donations around the country right now.
There's a very big need. The lack of organs for transplantation is a global public health crisis. In the United States alone, there are 95,000 people waiting for a kidney transplant.
Wow.
Unfortunately, only maybe 16,000 of them will get that transplant. And many will die while waiting. Many will get too sick and have to get taken off the transplant waiting list. And so many of us are working as hard as we can to find solutions to this problem and find ways to use organs that no one else will use or allocate the organs more efficiently so that more people benefit.
Yeah, so let's talk about that problem a little bit more. Tell us first why so many organs are disposed of.
Well, we know that every year in the United States, over 3,000 donated kidneys are thrown away. And it's not always clear why that is, but I'm a firm believer, and so are many of my colleagues, that many of these discarded organs could benefit someone. Mm-hmm. Some of the prevailing theories are that centers in the United States have become risk averse because they're afraid of penalties, they're afraid of regulatory oversight, and it's a safer course to just take kidneys that you know will work very well. Others worry that there are financial disincentives. So if you take a higher risk organ or if you take an organ that's been shipped a long distance, your patient may be more likely to have complications or to stay in the hospital longer. It might cost more to treat them. And so there may not be enough to offset the risk of taking a higher risk organ in the United States.
Okay, so let's talk about this research then. You say we should be looking at a model more like France's approach on this and in terms of which organs we allow to be donated and used by those people on that list who need them. How does France approach this?
So in this case, I had the opportunity to spend a long period of time in a French transplant center, and one of the first things that I saw when I got there is that they were using organs that we would never use here. There were a few times when I felt like I had to clean out my ears and make sure that I was hearing the story accurately in French.
Wow.
So for instance, one day I was sitting at the table and they started to talk about an 87-year-old deceased donor who had provided a kidney. I've never heard a story like that in any transplant center in the United States, even once. So this was part of the reason why we undertook the study. And what we did is we looked at the profile of organ donors in France versus the United States over a 10-year period. And it became very evident right away that in France, they, over this 10-year period, they were accepting older and older and older donors. But during the exact same 10-year period in the United States, the average age of the kidney donors really didn't change at all. Now, these two healthcare systems have a lot in common. There's an organ crisis in both systems. There are many people on the waiting list. We use the exact same immunosuppression most of the time. France is a very advanced, very well-rated healthcare system, yet the two transplant systems were behaving in fundamentally different ways.
And you mentioned some of the reasons we won't use a kidney like that in the U.S., but what are the actual results for a patient? Like if you were to use a kidney from someone who's older here that we normally wouldn't use, is it just that the transplant wouldn't be successful, or could it actually be detrimental to their health?
Well, I think with kidney transplantation, a lot of times what the patients are doing is they're looking at a bad situation they're in and they're deciding for themselves how much risk with transplant they're willing to take. So just to give you an example, if you're on the waiting list for a transplant, your risk of dying every year is 5%. Mm-hmm. If you're an older patient with diabetes, your risk of dying every year might be higher, 8%, 10%. So then if a patient accepts a kidney from a donor who's 65 or 70 or 75, there is going to be a greater chance that that kidney won't work, you know, compared to the ideal world where someone offers you a kidney from a 25-year-old.
Right.
But most of those kidneys will work. The great majority, according to our data, will work. And so I think for someone who's on the waiting list, that kind of trade-off of risk may be a very reasonable one to take. Mm-hmm. There's no question that we have to, you know, go through informed consent and make sure that the patients know what they're getting into. But I think this is one of those situations where if there's an older patient who's 60 or 70, very unhappy on dialysis and a high risk of death, there's no reason that we shouldn't be offering them a kidney from a donor who's that same age.
From your experience, would most patients, especially a patient in that scenario that you outlined there, be willing to accept that kidney?
I think it depends, but there are, you know, more than 10,000 patients, you know, over 60 on the waiting list in the United States. So I feel pretty confident that we could find people willing to take the risk.
So obviously the goal of your research here is to provide us some other options, right? And show us that it could be done and it is being done differently in other countries. What kind of response have you gotten and where would you like to take this research next?
You know, I think that where we need to go next is changes in policy. I think there is a rising chorus of voices in the United States who are saying that what matters to most patients most is that their center can get them access to a transplant. Many patients on the kidney transplant waiting list have been told that they may have to wait 5 years or 7 years. And many of them are smart enough to understand that they may not make it at all. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's too much focus on outcomes after the transplant, but not enough focus on getting people onto the transplant table and out of the hospital. And so, you know, what needs to change? There's probably more than one solution, but I think less regulation and less attention and penalties around post-transplant outcomes might help.
All right. That's Dr. Peter Rees, an associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the University of Pennsylvania and one of the lead researchers on this study. Dr. Rees, thank you for joining us to tell us about this.
Thank you so much for the invitation.